You're listening to the Innovation in Healthcare podcast, produced by Health Innovation Northeast and Northumbria, proudly improving health and care for everyone. Health Innovation Northeast and Northumbria's Patient Safety Collaborative is a delivery partner for the NHS National Patient Safety Strategy. The Maternity and Neonatal Safety Improvement Programme forms part of that work, which includes improving the outcomes for preterm babies born less than 34 weeks gestation. In this episode, our programme lead, Julia Wood, leads a discussion about our place of birth intervention work, which is critical to preterm babies, especially those born before 27 weeks.
I'm Julia Wood, I'm one of the programme managers for the Maternity and Neonatal Safety Improvement Programme with a particular focus on optimisation. I am delighted to welcome Karen Parker and Sue Thompson to talk about the work we do here. We will start off with some introductions. Karen, would you like to go first?
Hi Julia, thanks for inviting us to talk to you today. My name is Karen Parker, I'm the Associate Director of Midwifery in the Skaboo at Gateshead Health Foundation Trust, but I'm also the Matneo SIP maternity lead for the North East Northumbria.
Thank you. And Sue?
Thanks, Julia. I'm Sue Thompson. I'm the Quality Improvement and Governance Lead for the Northern Neonatal Network. And the Northern Neonatal Network covers the North East and Northumbria, and we have 10 neonatal units within our area.
Brilliant. Thank you. So we're here today to discuss the importance of ensuring that preterm babies are born in the right place and also to share with you what we do as a region to make that happen. So I wanted to start off by saying North East Northumbria has historically been very good at this, and I actually believe we're the best in the country, which is a great spot to be. But the first question to ask really, and I'll come to Karen, is why is this so important, Karen?
Thanks, Julia. So across the North East and Northumbria, like any other area of the country, we have different levels of neonatal care provision in our hospitals across the region. And actually, particularly for our very preterm babies, and by that we mean babies that are born before 32 weeks of gestation, these babies we know do so much better if they're born in a maternity unit, which has an on-site neonatal intensive care unit. So these babies, A, don't need to be separated from their mums. So from a maternal mental health perspective, that's so important that we've got mums on the same site as where their often sick and vulnerable babies are. But from purely a baby perspective, these babies are very vulnerable. They need to be in specialist centres where they've got the right staff, the right equipment and the right setup to provide them with that specialist care from the very moment that they're born. That's not to say that babies that are born in other units are not cared for appropriately. We have staff that are, again, very, very skilled at stabilising these babies. But if they are very premature, then often they will then require a transfer to one of the specialist intensive care units for ongoing care. And actually, that then means that they may well be separated from their mums if their mums have undergone a cesarean section and maybe are delayed to be transferred to the same hospital as them. So it's really, really important for keeping those babies together, but also for improving the outcomes for these babies.
So we've done an awful lot of work around this over the years. North East Northumbria has been focused on this for many years. So I'm going to come to you, Sue, about why, just to talk through some of the work we've actually done and why we do so well at it.
I think that we do so well at it because we really do adopt that perinatal approach to this. We don't work in silos. I think we are fortunate within our region that we work under the umbrella of one LMNS and one neonatal ODN. And I think we have really good working relationships between our perinatal teams across the whole of the region. Historically, we've always had good communication between us. And I think that really is the crux of where this starts, because we can't do this as a maternity service and we can't do this as a neonatal service. This has to be truly perinatal. We really, like Karen says, need to optimise that care when the preterm delivery can't be prevented. And that starts with the communication when a lady presents to a hospital, whatever level of hospital that is, in relation to neonatal care. Those conversations, those thoughts need to be had immediately about, is this a mum that we can transfer to a maternity unit that has a neonatal intensive care unit attached, for all the reasons that Karen said. So having those really early identifications of those mums at risk of preterm birth, and having the education that we have across the region, and the standard approach to how we identify those mums and how we escalate those mums appropriately. I think we're also really lucky in our region that we really have one point of contact, which is our neonatal transport service, that we know that if we've got a mum that presents to a hospital that doesn't have a neonatal intensive care unit and we think that she needs to be transferred, we can pick up the phone, we can call our neonatal transport service, and they can find us where the nearest cot is that's of the appropriate level of care for that baby to be delivered into. So there's a very clear pathway of how we establish that. We also have an understanding from our maternity services that if we have a cot available that has an intensive care facility, that maternity team will accept that mum. There isn't a question about that. That mum will go to that unit and that baby will have that bed allocated to them, cot allocated to them. So I think that communication from that perinatal approach is what we do, and it's what we do well, and I think it's why it works. At the heart of all of this, we've got to remember that we need to communicate with our families, because I think what happens when you hit the world of neonatal services, going through your pregnancy journey, you've had a lot of choice around what care you want. You've been thinking about where you want your baby to deliver. You've been thinking about your birth plan. And it's very different when mums enter this neonatal world. We talk about, we find the cot that's closest to home for that family. But as Karen says, that's got to be the most appropriate level of cot available for that family. So again, we've talked about the perinatal team, but the families are really important in this. They need to be informed about where they're going to be transferred to. For some families, we're going to transfer them to the other side of our country. For some families, we might transfer them within region, but to a place they've never been. And it's all scary. And we have to remember that we need to inform our families why we're doing that. And we have some really good resources that we've produced with parents and as a multi-professional approach, as information leaflets for families, to make sure that they're very aware of the need for the transfer. So we've talked to our families, we've talked to the transport team to establish where the cot is. We've discussed this as medical professions, and then it comes to the movement of that mum. So that mum will hopefully be moved prior to delivery of the baby, settled in to the ward of the appropriate hospital where she's transferred to. And like Karen said, it's all to minimise separation. Ideally, we want the best optimised conditions for that baby to be delivered in, and we don't want mum and baby to be separated. So I think for us as a region, the process is we talk to each other, we communicate very well, we've shared our learning, we've made joint resources with a perinatal approach and a family approach, we make sure our families are informed. We know that early identification on maternity units happens really well, and the communication to the neonatal services is swift, and then we move those mums and babies. And I think that's the process that we have. We don't turn away a mum because we're struggling for beds in the maternity service if that's the neonatal intensive care cot that we've got. So I think that whole perinatal approach, the communication, how we've delivered it, and how we've educated all of our staff, from community to midwifery to neonates, is probably the most important thing. I could probably tell you a whole sop about it, but to me, they're the key steps of how we do it well. We're a small region, we know each other well, and we have good communication.
That's brilliant. Thank you, Sue. And I'll come to Karen.
Sue's kind of set the scene. A lot of this stems from those historic good relationships that we have, not just amongst the different disciplines, so you know, the midwives, the obstetricians, the neonatal team, but actually between our units across the region as well. So I think it whatever we've done going forward is built on the really solid foundation of good communication. So I think Sue's described really well what we do in the moment. So actually, when we've got a mum, you know, who's potentially going to experience a preterm birth, how do we do that? I think what we also do really well, and really very openly and honestly and transparently, is we get together to review and to learn from cases where perhaps a mum has delivered in one of our special care baby unit facilities and the baby's needed to be transferred out following that. So again, a lot of this stems in kind of our historic processes in the Northeast and North Cumbria. So many years ago, yeah, Julia and I certainly have worked together for a large number of years, but quite a few years ago, we implemented a project which was a national quality improvement project called Precept, which was about ensuring that one of the optimization elements for our preterm babies, magnesium sulfate, was rolled out across the units in our region. Now, because we did that process so well, we already had a really committed, good team of preterm birth midwives across the region who were committed to auditing the cases where perhaps babies didn't receive some of the elements of optimization, as well as working in the moment to get mums into the right place for where their babies should best be delivered. We're also really good at evaluating cases where babies have maybe been born in a special care baby unit and needed transfer after delivery, so separate from their mums. And a lot of this review process stems from some work done many years ago around the Precept project. And that's where we were trying to ensure that all of our eligible babies received magnesium sulfate for neuroprotection prior to birth. So we already had a really good committed team of preterm birth midwives who were able to audit all of the individual cases where babies didn't receive magnesium sulfate to see what learning could be gained from those places. So we were able to roll that out on quite a basic format, I suppose, a few years ago, in terms of looking at the babies that were born in what we call a level one special care baby unit facility, that ideally we would have transferred in utero and had them born in a unit where there was an on-site neonatal intensive care unit. So every month I receive the details of any babies that are born that ideally we would have wanted to be born in a tertiary unit. And the preterm birth midwives on each of the sites conduct a really thorough audit of not only the labour and delivery care of these mums and babies, but actually going back to antenatal risk assessments to see whether these mums were actually at risk of having a preterm birth in the first place, whether when they contacted the unit or had care in the unit, though they were able to be correctly identified as being at risk of preterm birth and invited in and correctly assessed in a timely manner, whether there was an opportunity for transfer to take place, because often there isn't. Often, you know, in these cases, mums do turn up at advanced stages of labour. And actually, in those cases, it may well be safer for them to deliver where they are and to transfer babies post-delivery. But whether those assessments were made and whether there was time or not to transfer these mums, but also to look at all of the optimization elements for these preterm birth babies. And by that, I mean not only for them being born in the right place, but actually, have they had antenatal steroids? Have they had magnesium sulfate? Are we keeping them nice and warm immediately after birth? And, you know, really, really importantly, are we supporting mums to be able to provide maternal breast milk for these babies? Because we know that that's one of the things that makes such a difference to the longer term outcomes for these babies. So within each trust, the teams within each trust will review these cases. And then as a region, we bring these together and really look at where's all the learning. So it's not about pointing fingers and blaming and looking at, oh, things haven't gone right. Actually, it's about where can we improve our processes. And some of the learning from those meetings has been really valuable across the whole system. One of the things that we have been able to do is recognize that sometimes mums and families don't know when to contact their maternity unit. We know that the signs and symptoms of preterm labor can often be quite different from a term labor. And actually, last year, we were able to get together as a region and to do some public awareness campaign to share with our families around preterm birth and what does that look like, you know, to make sure that from the first step, our mums know when to contact their labours or contact their maternity units. Some of the other learning is around triage processes and the importance of risk assessments when people phone to the maternity units to see whether actually they are at risk of preterm labour, in which case we might make different decisions or give different advice around attending the local maternity units. So it's, I think, again, to Julia's question, why do we do this so well in the Northeast and North Cumbria? I think it's absolutely about relationships and communication that we have between our units and between our different teams of staff. But also, I think it's about our attitude to sharing and reviewing cases in order to get learning from them so that we can make improvements going forward. And we're always looking for how we can do things better.
I do have to say, Karen, building on that, those meetings which you were discussing there, as you know, I've been to a few of those, and I do have to say they are so much about learning and not about pointing fingers and blame, just like you say. I mean, that it's, you know, it's just, it's a great group for people to come along and just share learning and then look at what shall we do with that next. And some of that is just for the trust to go away and think about, isn't it? But as you say, some of it is for much wider learning. And I'll just to build on that a little bit, Karen, where does that learning go? How is that shared across the region?
With all of these kind of regional groups, and you know, it's not restricted to the learning from these places that babies are born or preterm birth groups, across lots of different areas of the Northeast and North Cumbria maternity and neonatal landscape, we have lots of different specialist groups where we do come together and we do extract learning from different cases, but also share that learning. And all of our trusts then relevant representative to all of these groups. So actually, not only do we have those great discussions between trusts, there's then people representing their individual hospital trusts that go back to their own services and share that learning within their clinicians back at base, back at home. So we really have quite a good way of spreading that learning, I suppose. There's a number of really key groups. So following on from, you know, obviously we're here today to talk about preterm birth in particular, and we do have a really well-functioning preterm birth group where not only the learning from some of these audits kind of feeds into, but actually we look at national learning, we look at developing kind of co-produced guidelines that we're all following. We look at developing and sharing patient information leaflets so that we're all giving that same information. And wider than that is we have a fantastic perinatal patient safety learning network. Again, this is about, this is where all of our trusts are represented. And it's cross disciplines as well. So we have obstetricians, we have anaesthetists, we have representatives from neonatal care and special care services, as well as midwives and risk management teams. And again, that's about having our ears to the ground and learning about what's going on nationally. And, you know, we know that there's so much quality improvement work, but also so much learning that happens on a national basis, but also about bringing our own cases from our own units and from processes such as this to share that learning. And I think one of the massive benefits is around having those conversations, yes, but also around doing something once and doing it right. So actually, rather than us all go off and develop our own guideline around X, actually, let's do it together. You know, we can tweak it as to what suits our own individual unit. But let's not all waste time going off and doing the same thing when we can do it better together, because everybody brings that different learning experience and that different kind of knowledge and expertise.
That's great, Karen. Thank you. And if you've got anything you wanted to build on that or add to that, Sue?
I don't think there's anything to build on it. I think it's just to reinforce that, you know, that actually all the services are working together and we are all sharing the same learning. We're all listening to the same learning. And I think that it is a very positive, any of the meetings are very positive. It's not about why didn't this happen and wasn't the time to do that? Yes, those questions are asked in a constructive way, but we learn from the good that's happened. From a neonatal perspective, obviously, we don't have a huge amount of control in where that mum delivers that baby, because it's got to be the safest place for that mum to deliver the baby. And like Karen says, if a mum comes in really well-established labour or is 2-6 transfer, then actually baby gets delivered wherever it's safe for mum to be, and we transfer the baby. But again, it's looking at us for learning opportunities. So when we're looking at our outcomes for our preterm and sick babies, is there something antenatally that we could be doing, that we could be offering more if they're not in a tertiary neonatal intensive care unit prior to delivery? Is there something that we can build on from a neonatal perspective? And I think, you know, Karen and I have sort of even had conversations. This is absolutely about the preterm birth population, but we've recognised through our perinatal patient learning network that actually occasionally babies who are of a greater gestation but have different needs would have been better off born in a hospital where there's been a neonatal intensive care unit. You know, for us, it's not about the data. That's important, but it's about making sure that we can provide the best care we can to all of our babies. And we've been thinking, you know, how do we extend this? Because we're good at this. Actually, there may be other things that we can bring into it as well, out with the general parameters of what we're measuring. So we definitely don't sit on our laurels. We definitely don't think, you know, we're good at this, we'll rest and we'll just carry on. We're constantly thinking about how do we make sure that we can provide the most optimum environment for any baby to be born in within our region that minimises separation.
Thank you both. That's really interesting. Is there anything either of you would like to add before we bring this to a close?
I think sometimes we don't recognise the good work that we do. And I think, you know, sometimes it's hard to kind of come out of the often negativity, you know, and that concerns our services or you know, maternity services, certainly in the media at the moment, and actually look back and look at all of the things that we really have achieved and recognise the strength of doing that together as a system. And I don't think that just means, you know, us sitting in our individual providers. Actually, it's the wider system. So it's the support that we receive from other stakeholders around. And certainly that includes our voluntary services as well. You know, it includes our families. We work really, really closely with our maternity and neonatal voices partnership. So whenever we're coming up with this learning or coming up with actions or quality improvements, we're not just sitting here as the clinicians thinking this is what will be best for our families. Actually, we're speaking to our families and saying, will this work? Or what are your ideas? Because often our families and our staff on the ground are the people that know what will work and what will benefit all of us.
Thank you, Karen. And Sue, any last thoughts?
Yeah, I was thinking about the other services that we actually utilise. And if we talk about place of birth, if mums and babies are separated, then actually we've managed to highlight through some of our quality improvement work things that we haven't really thought about as professionals, but families have told us, particularly thinking about the early breast milk optimisation and knowing how important that is. And I think what we've done within our region is we've really utilised the blood bank services, and that if a mum and baby are separated, there is no reason that if mum's expressing milk, that milk cannot be transported to the baby, even if it's from the West Coast to the East Coast. We've got buy-in from blood bank services in the North East, North Cumbria and Yorkshire, and they are more than willing to help us. And I think, you know, it is bigger than just us as that healthcare system. And we've really got to think about, yes, we want the babies to be born in the right place, in the most appropriate place. But as we say, it can't happen all the time. There are reasons why it just doesn't happen sometimes. But it's not just thinking, well, mum and baby are separated, we'll get them back together as soon as possible. How do we work on maintaining that relationship and maintaining all those optimization things that we want them to do? And what services have we got available? So there is, I think we've really thought about the whole impact on the family, and how we've utilised other services in our voluntary sectors as well to support us with that.
Thank you. That brings us to the end of this. I just would like to say a huge thank you to you both for coming along and sharing your knowledge and words of wisdom with us, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
have been listening to the Innovation in Healthcare podcast produced by Health Innovation Northeast and North Cumbria. If you'd like to find out more about our maternity and neonatal safety improvement programme, please visit the Transforming Patient Safety section on our website at healthinnovationnenc.org.uk. We will, of course, provide further links and resources in the podcast show notes. Thank you for listening.